This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa salatu wa salamu ala ashrafil anbiya wal mursaleen. Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Tasliman kathiran kathira. I begin in the name of Allah, the most beneficent, the most merciful. And we send salutations on our master, the Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless this beautiful gathering and to help us to do that which he sent us to do. Ramadan is the 9th month in the lunar calendar called the Hijri calendar. And as you all know, we fast in this month. Fasting Muslims fast from dawn to dusk, sunlight, from sunrise to sunset. And we do that. Many times you would have heard this, that people we fast so that we know what poor people feel and so on and so on. Let me correct all that. Being poor is not about missing a meal. Being poor is not about postponing or bringing your breakfast early and postponing your lunch. Being poor is about complete insecurity. Being poor is about being desperate. Being poor is about not knowing where the next meal will come from. When we are fasting, we have food in the fridge for a month. But being poor means you do not know where the next meal is going to come from. Being poor is not funny. And that's why we do not fast for that reason, because we don't want to reduce the value of that reason. We must learn what it means to be poor so that we can help the poor. We fast for another reason, which is to get close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to get close to our Creator. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran, وَإِذَا He said, كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الصِّيَامُ كَمَا كُتِبَ عَلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ He said, which means fasting has been prescribed upon you as it was prescribed for those before you, so that you may become muttaqun. A muttaqi is a person who is conscious of God in his life and who takes every decision in his or her life based on whether it pleases God or not. Fasting is not unique to Islam. Every religion has fasting in one form or the other. I don't think there's any religion at all which has no fasting. And the reason in all the religions is the same, to bring you back to track, to reboot your life, to reflect, to revamp it and bring it on to the track which takes you close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to have the right connections. What's the meaning of connection? In Islam, the meaning of connection is to submit. Islam itself, like Lina greeted us and she said, Assalamu alaikum. The usual translation of this greeting is, peace be upon you. Incidentally, this is the greeting which we know from the Bible, that this is how Jesus greeted the people. He said, peace be upon you. And that is the greeting of all prophets. Peace be upon you. But I want to take it a little more deeper to say, the word in Arabic, salam, comes from the root word salama, which means security. So it doesn't just mean peace be upon you, it means I give you security. If I say salam alaikum to Heather, then I'm saying, you, Heather, are safe with me. No harm will come to you as long as I am alive. If anyone attacks you, then I fight for you. It means all of this, right? It's not just some distant peace be upon you, and then, you know, something is happening to you, well, you know, I sent peace already, I'm done. No. I give you security. And that is why I give you protection. In the old days, If you said salam alaikum to somebody in Islam, it is compulsory to return the salam and say wa alaikum salam, right? In Hebrew we say shalom aleichem and wa aleichem shalom, which is the same thing. Peace be upon you and may peace also be upon you. If you did not return the salam of a person, it meant that maybe you are not a friend. Because I am saying I give you protection and you're not returning that salam, it means that I now need to watch you, because you don't sound like a friend, because you've not returned my greeting of safety, really. So peace, yes, but peace is the result of safety. You can't have peace unless you have safety, and safety is the result of justice. So all of these are interlinked. Now in Islam, we said, as I said, it means submission. I want to tell you the story of one of our greatest prophets, the father of the prophets, Ibrahim alayhi salam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran, and Allah is the name of God, is the name of our creator, the creator of everything that exists. He said, وَإِذْ قَالَ لَهُ رَبُّهُ أَسْلِمْ قَالَ أَسْلَمْتُ لِرَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. When his Rabb said to him, when his Lord said to him, submit, he said, I have submitted. Now the spirit of submission is the spirit of Islam. Submitting what? Submitting my desires, submitting my wishes to the wish of Allah. Now connect that with fasting. Why are we not eating? There's beautiful food here. And by the look of the number of trays, I think this is either for all of us for the rest of the year, or it is for like 100 people, right? May Allah bless all your generosity. Now, but we are not eating. Why? I mean, you guys are not eating out of courtesy and friendship, and may Allah bless you. But we are not eating because it is the order of Allah not to eat until sunset. That's it. This is the meaning of submission. Now, why is that important? Because Ramadan reinforces the fact that eating this food, when it's time to eat, is halal, it is permissible, it is good, it's recommended, by all means eat. But why are we not eating? Because Allah said don't eat. That's it. Because He said so. Now what about therefore the things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prohibited us, and us I mean all human beings, throughout our lives? No lying, no cheating, no slander, no backbiting, no deceiving people, being kind to people, no unkindness, no oppression, no cruelty. So if you are stopping yourself from doing what is normally permissible because God said so, what about stopping yourself from doing what is not permissible for the same reason because God said so? Now this is how it gets reinforced. And that's why this is what fasting does. And as I said, the story of Ibrahim alayhi salam, very beautiful. Imagine this, I want you to put yourself in this place. Here is this small boy, maybe 10 years old, maybe 12 years old. I don't think he was older than that at that time. This little boy, agrarian society, he lived in the Mesopotamian times in the kingdom of Ur, in Mesopotamia, which means in present current day Iraq, between the Euphrates and the Tigris. Very fertile land, hills, mountains, it was literally the bread bowl of the world. So this little boy now, he's out in the country and he's talking to Allah. He's having a conversation with God. So what did he say? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَإِذْ قَالَ إِبْرَاهِيمُ رَبِّ أَرِنِي كَيْفَ تُحْيِي الْمَوْتَى. He says to Allah, he said, Oh my Rabb, oh my Lord, show me how do you bring something back to life after it's dead? كَيْفَ تُحْيِي الْمَوْتَى. Now think about this. Here is this, how many times have you heard a 10 or 12 year old boy or girl talk about life after death? Probably never, right? Now this also shows the orientation of people who are destined to be leaders. They think far ahead. They think far, far ahead. They know that this life is not just having fun. There's nothing wrong with having fun. By all means have fun, as long as that fun is good fun. But there is something more than that. So he's saying, كَيْفَ تُحْيِي الْمَوْتَى? How do you bring life back to death? Now see the response to that. If he's asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how do you give life to the dead? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala should show him, this is how I do it. No. His first response is, قَالَ أَوَلَمْ تُؤْمِنْ? Allah says, you don't believe? And his response, Ibrahim alayhi salam's response is, قَالَ بَلَى وَلَكِنْ لِيَطْمَئِنَّ قَلْبِي. He said, of course I believe, but to strengthen my faith. To strengthen my faith. Right? And that's why the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, peace be upon him, he said that if Ibrahim could say that, we have a right to say that even more. So my submission to is, talk to Allah. Talk to your Creator. And in today's world, when I say something like this, maybe you are thinking, this guy is bonkers. I mean, talk to God, what is that? How do I know if I talk to God, how do I know God is listening to me? How do I know God is answering me? If I get some thought, how do I know it's from God? I'll tell you how. If it is from God, it will always be something good. It will be something good. It won't be kill somebody. It won't be deceive somebody. Something good. So talk to God. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So what happened now? Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, قَالَ فَخُذْ أَرْبَعَةً مِنَ الطَّيْرِ فَصُرْهُنَّ إِلَيْكَ ثُمَّ اجْعَلْ عَلَى كُلِّ جَبَلٍ مِّنْهُنَّ جُزْءًا ثُمَّ ادْعُهُنَّ يَأْتِينَكَ سَعْيًا وَعَلَمْ أَنَّ اللَّهَ عَزِيزٌ حَكِيمٌ. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him a project. Here is this little boy saying, show me, how do you bring the dead back to life? So after they have this very affectionate, loving little interaction, you don't believe? No, no, of course I believe. Please tell me. To strengthen my faith. So this is a little interlude, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives me a project. What's the project? He says, get 4 wild birds. Tame them so that they come to you when you call them. Then slaughter them, chop them into small pieces, the whole mess of that, separate it into separate piles. Take each pile and put it on top of one of the hills. And when you've done all that, come and stand here, call them, they will come back to you. Now, think about this. Seems simple, right? How do you tame a wild bird? Can you do that? No. There's a way to do that. You know how? Get it when it's a chick. Get it from the nest. When it hatches, when it's just the right age, if it grows, if you take it from the nest too early, it'll probably die because you won't know what to do with it. If you take it too late, you can't tame it because it's wild. It'll fly away. So now what's the plan for this little boy? Identify 4 different birds. Allah did not tell him take a chicken and a duck and a turkey, no. Wild birds. So identify 4 different wild birds. Find out about them, because different birds eat different things. Some are seed eaters. You got the American robin here, which eats its own body weight in earthworms every day. Now I've got seed feeders in my yard. The robins don't care a hoot about them. They are in the grass and they listen. It's amazing to see the. Have you ever seen a noticed a robin feeding? It listens like this. It can actually hear the worm under the ground. Listens like this, and then it picks, and there's the worm. Pulls it out, eats it. Eats its body weight in earthworms every day. So you've got cardinals, for example, here, which are seed eaters. You've got black-eyed juncos. You've got the number of small birds here is incredible. One of my hobbies is wildlife photography, and I take a lot of photographs of birds, and I love them. So anyway. So now Ibrahim alayhi salam's job is find 4, then watch where do they build nests. Some build nests in trees, some build nests in holes in the ground, some build nests in rocks in the mountains and all kinds of places. Wait for them to hatch, figure out what do they eat. There's a whole project, right? And imagine a little boy doing all of this, must be great fun. And when he does all of that, these birds now are his pet birds, but they're free-flying pets. So, they, you know, imagine that there's one sitting here, one sitting on his head, and so on. And then, when they are ready, he catches them, he slaughters them, he chops them up, makes into a big mince pie, and he separates all of that. Then he has to climb mountains. He's got to climb this hill, that hill, that hill. I don't know how many hills there were, number of hills. And then he stands there and he calls them, and they come back to him flying alive and well. His pet birds are back to him. How must he feel? Imagine this feeling, that boy, what must he have felt? Now, interestingly, in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also mentioned another story. And in the ayat in the Quran, this one which I recited for you was ayah 260 in the second surah, in Surah Al-Baqarah, and the other one is ayah 259, which is the ayah before that. And there, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also talks about somebody who asked about bringing back to life after you die. And in this case, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, or like the man who passed by our town and the town was in ruins and the houses had collapsed and everything else dead. And he said, how can God bring this back to life? Now imagine the tone of the question. Here is Ibrahim alayhi salam asking, Ya Rab, show me how you do this. Show me how you do this means what? It means I know you can do, I'm not denying this. I know you can do this, just show me how. And that's why Allah asked him, you don't believe? No, of course I believe. So there is one asking who has faith, who has belief, out of love, out of wanting to know, curiosity, deeper interest. The other one is asking in a way which in effect is saying, I don't think it can be done. How can this ever happen? If I say, how can it ever happen? Is that a question or is that a denial? It's a denial, right? How can it happen? Means it cannot happen. So the man says, how can it happen? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, so we cause him to die. So he's saying, how can it happen? Show me. He says, I'll show you. Die. He's dead. Now he was on a donkey and he was going somewhere. So he was riding his donkey. He, his donkey and whatnot, everything dead. He remained there, Allah said, for 100 years. And then he was brought back to life. And he was asked, how many years were you dead? How long were you dead? And the man said, maybe a day, maybe part of a day. Yawman aw ba'da yawm. He said, no, you were dead for 100 years. 100 years. And then Allah says, look at your food and look at your drink. They are the same. Nothing has changed. 100 years preserved. And then he says, now look at your donkey. And his donkey was, after 100 years, what do you think happened? Everything is gone. It's like powder. And the donkey comes back to life before his eyes. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, we showed him, the bones came back and the flesh grew on the bones and the donkey stood up. Now, think about this. The man asked a question, he got an answer. And he also got a pretty spectacular answer, right? Personal answer. But look at it from another aspect. 100 years from now, not only will I be dead, and long before that, but every single person in this room will be dead in 100 years. So if I drop dead now, and I come back to life 100 years later, what is the world I'm seeing? I'm seeing my whole family gone. Every friend I knew is gone. Everyone I knew is gone. Maybe my money doesn't work anymore in my pocket. My cards are not working anymore. My ID doesn't exist. I look at the world, maybe I'm seeing flying cars or something. God knows how technology has changed. Complete isolation. There's nothing. Imagine that situation. Now, why? Ask this question. Why? Ibrahim alayhi salam also asked a question. This man also asked a question. And effectively the same question. How come that Ibrahim alayhi salam gets this fabulous, superior, special treatment with full of love and affection, and the other man just gets an answer? You ask me, here it is. Connection. And that connection is submission to Allah. Ibrahim alayhi salam comes from the position of submitting to Allah. Qala aslamtu? Qala aslim? Aslamtu. Submit? I have submitted. Then doors open for you. But you can come from any other place. No special treatment. The world is a place of cause and effect. This is what Islam comes on, or Islam is what Ramadan comes to reinforce. It comes to reinforce the importance of submitting to our Creator, whom one day we will meet. And to do that, so that when we meet Him, we get this beautiful, wonderful treatment, like we are getting here. The reason we are getting this beautiful treatment is because we are among friends. Right? Every time I introduce David to somebody, I say, he's my best friend. He always laughs. So I don't know, maybe he doesn't want to be my best friend or something. I don't know what. We are with friends. So when you are here with friends, Good treatment is assured. You don't have to ask anybody. Build friendship. That's why we say in sales training, you can only sell to friends. So you want to sell somebody something, make friends first. So in selling, in a not just a question of commercial sense, I mean selling meaning ideas, I mean, you know, persuading people. So friendship is a very important thing. It's very, very important. And in that list of friends, our number one friend really should be the one who created us. And that is what Ramadan comes to reinforce. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless all of you. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless all of us. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make this Ramadan the best Ramadan of our lives yet. And with many more to come with good health and iman. I ask Allah to bless all our non-Muslim friends who are here. Thank you so much for being with us. It's a wonderful thing to have all of you here with us. And the whole idea of building bridges, bringing hearts together so that we can live and create a world which is full of harmony and compassion and friendship. Thank you very much. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in bi rahmatika ya rahmat rahim.